Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sports team. We are back in the building, man. That diamond talk that you feel so comfortable and well to come back in the kitchen and throw this around with the boys. The baseball buffet is in session. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with the chef. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Welcome back, Sports City. I think we're having a little technical difficulty. Okay, the call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. I apologize for the little technical difficulty. This is all on BTR, I swear. I'm prepared. This is BTR. This is not me. Okay, but we are going to get into this. I got an interesting question to throw around the kitchen. Definitely going to touch on both leagues, American and National League, hot and cold teams. Who's doing well, who's falling off or not pushing for the month of May, but we are still in the first month of the season, but a lot of teams are starting to fall into play on where they stand right now. A lot of interesting divisions across the board on how these teams are playing, and people are basically close within the standings, you know. But we'll get into it. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, my co-host Tommy B, welcome to the buffet. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. And I'd like to give two congratulations on history marks that the two players have reached. Jason Worth, congratulations on your 200th home run. And Gonzalez, the right fielder, I believe he's playing right field, he may be playing left field, for the Rockies, got his, I believe it was his 1,000th base hit today. Congratulations.
That is one of the teams that I want to start off with, and I guess I'm going to feed Tommy right where he left off at least with the first of the two that he hit on, and that's the Washington Nationals. How these guys out of the gate are playing some of the best baseball in the league right now, in which I guess I get to start my question here and now. Is Bryce Harper the best hitter in the league? I mean, in MLB, not just in the National League. Is he the best hitter in the league right now? And can we throw some names around him right now that could probably throw some heat at this conversation as well? But also the way that the Nationals haven't been able to play ball out of the gate, they have been one of the stories to start the season off. And, I mean, this is home cooking for you. So we'll start right there. How do you feel about that one, Tommy?
Bryce right now is playing with vengeance because all your big talkers and everybody said that Bryce was overrated before the season and everything else. Now, you know, I didn't know until I was messing around watching some MLB and all. And of course, the Cubs and all had that rain delay that took forever. And they go on there and said that Bryce Harper keeps this pace up. And, of course, we know he's not. He's on pace for 85 home runs and 200-plus RBIs. And he just got another double RBI right before the show came on. It is his seventh straight game for RBIs. I mean, right now he is mashing. Now, there are a couple other players that we can throw around that's actually hitting the ball a little better than he is, a little south from where D.C.'s at, and that's Manny Machado in Baltimore. Manny's hitting the ball well. You throw his name in there. I mean, the team that we're playing now in Miami, Stanton, I mean, throw him around there. He struggled in this series against D.C. I think that I'm happy with that. Trust me. He wants to go on a bash and after today, please go ahead. Slow down after we play you then again. I mean, there's a couple others that, I mean, Jock Peterson for the Dodgers. What I've seen of him so far, but none of them, nobody, besides Machado, breaking like right now as Bryce is.
Now, do you think a guy like Miguel Cabrera gets back into this conversation? Because let's be honest, Miguel Cabrera was this guy 2 years ago. I mean, literally, while you watch the Detroit Tigers come in and play good baseball, he was known as the best batter in the game. Now Bryce is basically watching pitchers throw a lot of those pitches in his wheelhouse, and he is taking those pitches. And that is the type of baseball that I love. I'm not going to lie. I like a batter that comes to the plate, and when the pitcher wants to test him and try and sneak a fastball across the plate, he makes him pay for it. This is obviously the same type of baseball that when Albert Pujols was playing that strong breed of baseball while he was in St. Louis, it was like he was there pitching to try and get by him with a strike because he would make contact. Not to say that he was always sending them out the park, but he would get a base hit or extra base hit and finish with a double, something like that. But this is the same type of breed that Harper is, but Harper's a puller and will end up getting that ball out of the park, and he's making these guys pay. Just to hear the rate, even if they were off by a couple of home runs, let's just say that they were off by a couple of home runs because you already got Tommy throwing out 80-plus, right? Let's just say he hit 75. He still breaks Barry Bonds' record. He still breaks Bonds' record. So that's one in itself. Two, it's early in the season, and he's already got a jump on the ball. Wait till he gets comfortable, and a lot of these right-hand pitchers want to send one down to play. He's going to be stroking these guys. He is going to be stroking.
And
what
you say, he's a pull ball hitter. He is,
right.
But he's also in Dusty and the hitting coach, and everybody's got him working of hitting that ball opposite field. And what I've liked about him, because I've watched this man grow year by year by year. Last year you could see where he was spitting on pitches. He wasn't chasing that stuff he did in the first couple years. He was letting it go. He wasn't chasing it. You want to walk me? Walk me. I'll take my base. I got guys behind me that's going to drive me in. And I love this by him, what he's doing. When he was earlier in the year, you could tell he was chasing pitches, even down in the minors. He wasn't taking those pitches like he is now. The game has slowed down for him so much. And he's only 23 years old. That is what's dangerous. 23 years old, and he's already has 102, 103 home runs total in his career. Can you imagine what this man is going to do when he's, I don't know, say 30, 35, 40? His total numbers, it's going to be unbelievable.
I really say this number, because a male's prime is 26. But let's just say 27, 28, like 4 or 5 years down the road, where he's dominating the plate, i.e. similar scenario just like I threw out with Albert Pujols, where Pujols helped bring some World Series, championships, if you will, back to St. Louis. If this is the same makeup in which, 4 or 5 years, a lot of these guys will get older on the Washington Nationals, that's if the Nationals do hang on to him. I mean, you better cross your fingers if the Yankees don't try to throw him the house at the end of the day.
I mean, you say that. He turns a free agent in 2018. You imagine the money that people's go break? He could be the highest paid player ever.
Ever. Me and my friend were actually talking about it and said, if Giancarlo Stanton just got $300 million, they said that he will be the $400 million man. Bryce Harper had to take the gift, the gab, if you will, to pull that type of number in. Now, the one thing that has to remain for him is that he has to remain healthy. I'm going to knock on wood for you, Bryce, because that is everybody's Achilles heel, is, you know, not getting knocked out of a game or get a pitch thrown at you, even though, you know, he bashes the ball. A lot of pitchers don't like that, so, you know, they're probably trying to throw something at him high and inside, something like that, man. But at the end of the day, if he can stay healthy, if that team can stay consistent behind him and in front of him, I mean, the sky's the limit on this guy's potential and the number that he could bring to this Washington national team.
I mean, I'm sitting here, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to sit here and enjoy this year and next year, because I'm seriously worried that he may not be back. And if he's not, thank you for what you've done, and I hope and pray he wins the World Series before he becomes a free agent. I hope we win a World Series. He brings a World Series to D.C., and I'll be happy. And I'll be a fan of his until the day he – I don't care where he goes. Unbelievable.
You think he's gone?
I don't know. I mean, you got to look who his agent is. I mean, he's got the same agent as – I believe he's got the same agent as Strasburg. And Strasburg's a free agent after this year.
That is one thing that bothers me, is that now a lot of people are playing for, and not to say like everybody wouldn't, you know, play for the money, but people are looking at the longevity of a team and seeing what they can do in the long run. They are chasing the dollar, but, I mean, you can't blame them. You can't blame them. You know what I'm saying? So depending on what he can end up pulling in, especially if and knowing a team like the Yankees have, they could put up money for hours. If any team comes at him with $400 million, would you let it go? I mean, do you blame him at the end of the day? So, and no, if Strasburg can actually stay healthy, that's another thing also, because he's actually been in his own way too. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, but he's pitching excellent so far this year.
It's April. It's April.
Throwing. He looked like unbelievable last night. Unbelievable. And I'm gonna throw you a team out that could throw all the money in the world, and I'll tell you why he may go there. It's not New York. It's not Los Angeles. It's in the, I guess they consider it Midwest. Well, it would be the Midwest. The Chicago Cubs.
If they could keep the core there, which I think it'd be hard. I think it'd be hard, but if they could keep the core there without trying to chase him to throw that 400 number at him, which he could ice that by a landslide. But if they could keep at least him and Chris together, wow.
Because you think about it, they're from the same city.
Right.
They played on the same travel baseball team together. They work together during the off season. They're friends. Watch, because you think in 2018, Hayward would probably be gone. He probably won't be much. He's struggling now. Dexter Fowler, who knows? Now, though, I'm sure Rizzo will still be in Chicago. So, I mean, they've got some young core in Chicago now. Plus, by everything they're saying, they've built up that minor league teams for them. They've got talent down there in the minors. Watch.
We'll see. And speaking of which, let's talk about the Cubs. Let's go right there, because that was the next place I had in mind, in which the Cubs let one slip today up against their division rival, the St. Louis Cardinals. In St. Louis, 5-3, in which they had an early start to the game and taking the lead. But your thoughts on this Cubs team out of the gate with the injuries that they suffered, still atop their division. I mean, do they have to worry about St. Louis being in their rearview? St. Louis, as of this win, being three games back. And it's still early, but I mean, can the Cubs still keep their mojo going with one of their notables being out, especially with them losing on the road to St. Louis, where, I mean, we just were on the show yesterday talking about how crazy it was in St. Louis. I mean, can they actually end up stealing this series up against this Cubs team?
Well, the series is over.
As of today,
the Cubs
right.
won this series 2-1. The Cubs go to Cincinnati next. They play a 4-game series in Cincinnati starting tomorrow. I really look for them to win 3-1, maybe sweep Cincinnati. I like the way they're doing. And I didn't even realize until today, watching the Cubs game, they moved their all-star third baseman, Chris Bryant, to the outfield. He's
mm-hmm.
playing left field. And there was a play in the first inning that Chris Bryant would have made. There's no doubt in my mind he would have made that play. And then Holiday homered. It was St. Louis had two good innings. I'm not saying anything bad. The pitcher for St. Louis, I think it was Martinez that pitched. He kept them off balance. He's struggling right now. By everything I've seen and read and heard what the announcers were saying during the game, Hayward was struggling. His bat hasn't come. He's coming around. He's getting hits, but he hasn't homered yet. But he's playing the field well. I don't see anybody. I mean, maybe Pittsburgh late in the year, they normally do. Pittsburgh normally turns around, but I don't want to jinx anything, but Chicago could literally win this series by 10 games. Because I was doing some research before the show. This is the first actual good team St. Louis has beaten. They get swept in Pittsburgh the first 3 games. They beat Milwaukee and win a series in Milwaukee. They beat in Cincinnati. Then they struggle and lose against Chicago. So St. Louis has got problems. So, I mean, Pittsburgh. Let me see here. Let me pull up the division. Milwaukee, I have 4.5 games out. Pittsburgh, 3.5 games out. Cincinnati's 3 games out. 8-7. I mean, it's still early. But the Cubs are 11-4. And if they wouldn't have slipped up against the Rockies, who knows where they would have been. So,
there's still a story in the league regardless if they slipped up against Colorado or not. I mean, they're still playing top-notch baseball. But there was one name that we talked about last night you just hit on also. With Jason Hayward and how he was addressed by the fans and the people in the crowd, if you will, in St. Louis. Do you think that could be a turning point for him? Do you think he could use this series right here at a situation where he has to build off of this and become better and know that he's going to get heckled in other instances of several different stadiums across the country? Do you think this will actually get under his skin or this could be a driving point for him moving forward?
Well, he won the game on his defense last night. Threw a guy out, threw Holiday out a mile, then turned around, nodded his head, and ran back into the stick. So I can't say he'll use it, and he may not get hit. I mean, he's not going to get it like he did in St. Louis. And what happened in St. Louis, we talked about, that was despicable. I mean, I don't know if they were just drunk or what happened? I wasn't there, but that's just embarrassing. And I see that happening only in St. Louis, just because he's a former player there. And that same night, Lackey pitched that same night. And by what I read and heard and watched, they just booed him that one time, and that was it. Supposedly Hayward got it the whole game. Just wait until Hayward's bat starts heating up. Imagine how dangerous this team's going to be then.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, because if he starts to get it, if his offense comes to play with this team, I mean, they have a dynamic lineup if they could get this together. And it's just something about Joe Maddon. He gets the best out of his players right now. Just wondering if he could actually get these guys in the clubhouse to, you know, support or back Jason Hayward outside of what happened. And maybe you're right. I think they could be more of a situation where people in St. Louis are just being, you know, callous because he used to play for the team. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. That was one way I wanted to go with that, especially with this happening so fresh and him being a part of the team or formerly a part of that team. I'm going to stay right in that state. I'm not going to go anywhere because, well, the team I'm going to touch on is basically in the, well, the leader of my division and the league as well in the American League, and that is the Kansas City Royals back up to their old antics. Are they still the beast to be beaten? I mean, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And, I mean, Kansas City, they're in a very interesting series up against the Tigers. Your thoughts on Kansas City? Still playing that strong breed of baseball right now. I mean, do you feel like any team in the American League can threaten them while they're actually playing, you know, strong ball at this point?
Yeah, there's two teams in that division. I mean, let's look at Detroit. They're playing now, and right now, 1-0. And Zimmerman is pitching for them. You know, he hasn't given up a run yet. Now I hope I help jinx the man.
Yeah, because you do that a lot.
I'm going to tell you another team, the Chicago White Sox. That won today, and Chris Sale is pitching his ass off. He just did it again today with seven scored innings. And he's got an ERA, I believe, under one. So, I mean, it's still Kansas City and everybody until somebody actually knocks them off in the postseason. But those are two teams in their division. Now you look outside of their division. You got Toronto, that's playing well, that I believe is still they're losing. Let me check here real quick. And then the team that they're playing, the Orioles, that's actually beating Baltimore. So, I mean, there's some teams around and all that's going to challenge them. And supposedly everything that I've watched on MLB Network and people talking, you know, there's a lot going on if people are not happy about that bullpen, that bullpen struggling. So, we'll see what happens when this team's backs against the wall and they're absolutely challenged and they're not running away with the division. And I'm going to tell you right now, Ty, don't count out your Twins.
Hey, stop. You stop.
Do
stop right
not.
There. Stop.
Because they just made a move to bring in former coach Gardenhire as the assistant GM, and his job is to
to bring in the talent. Look,
everybody loves Gardenhire in Minnesota, and all the fans.
I do too. It's just that the way that he managed will get under my skin. Like, there would be some hiccups, you know, or he'll leave somebody in there too long. But now, him being a GM, he's a great evaluator of talent. I feel like this is an awesome move by Minnesota by letting him go for one season, let him test the market, and bring him right back to Minnesota. But I don't want to sit up here and talk about these dudes because, one, you know how to make me jinx these dudes, and they're just trying to put their season back together. So the way that they start out the season basically had me up in arms with it. They're slowly turning this around. I was going to talk junk about him, but as soon as you said it, it was like, nope, I'm not talking any more junk, so I'm leaving Minnesota alone.
They got a big series coming up this weekend.
I know. That's why I'm leaving you alone. I'm leaving you alone. And it's bad that I talked about the Nationals, too, and we played them this weekend. Okay.
But,
calling
I
in
mean,
by way of
That Central, I still say goat anyway.
Hell, even the Indians. I mean, the Indians are only two games back. Like,
I forgot about Cleveland.
Exactly. And Cleveland's always been the offensive team. They've always brought the offense. Their pitching staff is the one thing that I hold in question for them, because the past couple of seasons, their pitching staff has just been giving up runs, and they've been at the bottom of the division where, I mean, that's fourth place. Every team in the Central has a winning record except the Twins. The Twins are the only team that stumbled out the gate. Only team. Everybody else is above 500. Like, that's why I don't want to talk about them. Like, they got to smell 500 somehow, some way. If they can push this to, like, be 7-11, you know what I'm saying? If they lose a game somewhere around, you know what I'm saying? And if they can get back into that, then I'll feel comfortable about the Twins. But right now, they got a lot of names on paper. They got to go out there and prove that they can get this done. Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling out of the state of Arizona. I have Mr. Silver in the building. Welcome to the buffer. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, feeling good. Got two aces on the mound tonight in San Francisco, so, you know, feeling pretty good tonight. Hopefully we can get a victory.
I hate to break your heart, Nacho. It's not happening. I think Greinke hurt himself going to that ballpark. Good thing is it's in AT&T Park, so it's in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is it's Baumgartner he's pitching against.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you go in there two nights in a row and get two victories, you know, and you know, last night with the way Ray pitched, I was really impressed with Ray, you know, going up against Kane. And, you know, we just got it there at the end, and I was really impressed. Clipper came in, and he got the three, and he got the outs first there at the end. But, yeah, tonight I was, I'm really looking for it. I mean, this is two guys here, and Greinke, who's 0-2, he's got like a 6.7 ERA. And then you got Baumgartner, who's 1-1 with a 4.5 ERA, who's not pitching the greatest to start his season as well. So, you know, it's two pitchers that are really trying to – sorry about that. I got a guy driving by and out here. You know, we got two pitchers who are really trying to turn their seasons in the correct direction, not as if they're both going south, but Greinke more than Baumgartner is. I think you're correct on that, Tommy. The fact that he moved to to Chase Field, you know, it's a hitter's field, and it's just it's not really. I don't know. I'm just not that keen on it either. I do have high hopes for him and you know, and the other guys. But tonight, I think you're right. I think the Giants do come and get one back. This is the third game of a four-game series against them. If we can go 2-2 or 3-1, that's definitely a win for us, especially in this division where, you know, it's three games from top to bottom that separates everyone. So it's so close that, you know, I would take splitting with San Francisco at this point with the way we started the season.
The only thing I say is that might help you all is San Francisco has been struggling since we've done the show last
mm-hmm.
week. San Francisco's
mm-hmm.
really, I mean, they've hit rocks. They, for some reason, not hitting mm-hmm. nuts point runs. So, I mean,
the thing for us that we really look for in the Diamondbacks is obviously, you know, in this division, you're going to need help from the other teams to stumble a little. But, again, we've got guys like Paul Goldschmidt, who's got one homer on the year. He's not doing really well, you know. And then, again, you go to Zach Greinke. You got your ace pitcher and your productive, your offensive productive unit guy, and Paul Goldschmidt, and they're both not performing at levels they should be. So you expect those two to turn their seasons around, and then that'll pick it up. I mean, Peralta's been hitting. Segura's been hitting, getting some runs in it in key moments. So to me and to most Diamondback fans, it's obviously, yes, the fact that the Giants have stumbled is good for us. The fact that the Dodgers haven't been consistent is good for us. But our key players need to turn their seasons around for the better for us to really have a chance in this NL West, because the Rockies and the Padres are showing, at least for right now, and again, like Ty said, it's April, are showing that they're not going to be so much of the easy pushover that a lot of us thought they'd be come the beginning of the season.
Now looking at this matchup, we could go right to this matchup in which it was all good just a week ago, song by Jay-Z. Both of these teams are actually struggling, in which thinking of Zach Greinke and where he was last year and him coming into this season, not a great start, his ERA is nearly 7 runs a game going up against a Giants team that's looking to find their way, up against a Madison Bumgarner who's actually strong while he's in San Francisco. I don't know how he's not putting his full season back together, how we note that he has been in the past season or two. But I find the success rate in this game being on the side of San Francisco, while they have more to prove in front of their home crowd, where the Diamondbacks, I think they more or less have to believe in themselves that they could put runs on the board. They have to believe in that. If not, knowing that they're up against Madison Bumgarner, knowing that Bumgarner, if he's getting his swagger, he feels himself. I think this could be a long night for Arizona. I mean, you know, Nacho, anything to preview around this game before we get away from it?
No, realistically, the game is just, like you said, it's Bumgarner's to lose. I think he's out there to prove something. Zach Greinke, he's just, he's got to find his way. And I think that's the wrong stadium at the wrong time right now to do it, especially with a team that just lost 2 in their home stadium to these Diamondbacks. This is definitely a lose-lose situation that I feel for the Diamondbacks. Like you said, they need to score runs. I think, if anything, we need to get Goldie needs to get going tonight for us to have any kind of, hope for us to get anything going. If Goldie can get going, if Segura's going and Peralta's going, I think we can put some runs on the board. I think we can get some guys in and help Greinke out. But if that doesn't end up happening, which I fear, which I predict probably won't, I think we do take a loss tonight. But again, 2-2 against San Francisco early in the season, I'll take it. But we have one more game. Hopefully we can make it 3-1. But right now, I really don't anticipate a victory tonight.
What would it all be worth, chasing the money or staying around the team to get the job done, if he would stayed in L.A. and made it happen? I mean, it's tough. It is tough. Okay. Looking at a game that Tommy touched on a little bit earlier with Baltimore, Toronto actually just cut the lead to 1. So this is a game that I'm going to keep an eye on closely while we're in the duration of the show and seeing how this will pan out for the remainder of the night. But looking at how things are in the AL East, especially with Baltimore sitting on top of the division, with Toronto right behind them in their rear view, can, A, Baltimore keep this consistently going as they are out the gate, their first 12, they're 4 games above 500, and B, can Toronto stay in their rear view or actually catch them and make this interesting? And they have the shot to actually tighten this lead up if they could get back into this. And it's the top of the fifth, no outs. They could actually, you know, threaten the situation to actually tie it or do better. I want to see how you guys feel about this. Well, Tommy, I'll come to you first. You are down there in the DMV. Your thoughts on Baltimore, Showalter, and company? Can these guys still play consistent ball and threaten and have a stronghold on the East, or can a team like the Blue Jays, can a team like the Red Sox get back into this thing and, you know, threaten the Orioles as they sit as the leader in the division?
Well, if Baltimore loses, right now Baltimore is off 1.5 games. But if Toronto beats them, they're only 0.5 games out. I really think, overall, I still think Toronto and Baltimore, I think right now, by what you see, the standing-wise, they could be the one battling. I'm shocked where the rest of the standings is right now. I mean, everybody else is under 500. So, I mean, even the Yankees right now, 3 games out, they're 2 games under 500, and they're losing right now to Oakland. So, I mean, Baltimore has hit a little snub. After they started at 7-0, they went to Texas, got swept, came back home, been playing Toronto, lost last night to Toronto. So, I mean, they can, but I don't see them on top of this division the whole year. I really don't. I really think Toronto and Baltimore, they'll flip-flop the whole year. Maybe another team like Boston, maybe New York will turn it around and get up in there too. Because there's no way Boston and New York stay under 500 and all year long. There's just no way. They've got too much talent. And as an organization, you would think they'd have more pride. So they may get back in it, but I think Baltimore's trying to fight for this division the whole year.
Nacho, your thoughts on this? Do you think Baltimore could sit atop this division and play consistent ball, or do you think the rest of the field in the division could actually catch up to them and you know, make this that much more of an interesting race throughout the season? I know it's early, but Baltimore's been playing some pretty good ball to start the season off, especially I had to watch it firsthand as they actually swept the Twins, and that's not saying too much of how they started the season out, but this is how they started out, playing some hot ball and getting it done from guys like Davis and the rest of the core alike.
You know, to me, this is a division that is pretty tough, but again, this is a Baltimore team that has played three less games than anyone else in the division. You know, so maybe with the you know, so when you look at it, I'm sorry, with the exception of the Yankees, they played three less games in Toronto, who's in second place. And when you think about, you know, Toronto maybe getting some fire, Baltimore coming down to earth a little bit, and then seeing what the bottom of this division is actually made of, to me, this is a wide open division. This to me is essentially as open as the NL West is. To me, these two divisions are just right now wide open again. This is April. I mean, I think we have to repeat it over and over and over again. But you know, right now, this division looks open to me. It doesn't appear you know, as consistent as Baltimore has been to start the season. I just don't see them being able to maintain it and hold off these other teams in the division for the entirety of the year. I do think that the Yankees may make up something, and you know, they always end up. I think they'll always end up towards you know, the top three by the end of the year. Whether or not they'll be able to, you know, creep into two and make a noise for that first. But I think Tommy almost hit it on the head with Toronto and Baltimore probably going at it the most of the year. But I would not be surprised if a Boston or if a Tampa Bay or if a New York was you know, creeping their head up in that race there towards the end.
Now, speaking of which, I was hoping that you guys didn't touch too much on them because right within the division, a team that we would notably think that could do this on a year-by-year situation would be this New York Yankee team, and the Yankees are behind by three games. And not like they can't turn this around, because as soon as that – I think once this weather starts to turn around full, because it's still somewhat cool out here. I mean, it got warm in the past couple of days or so. I think once the Yankees start to feel the warmth and actually start to play better baseball, I think they can get back into it. But they are struggling out the gate as well, as much as I'm talking about a team struggling being a Twins fan. The Yankees are questionable as of now. I mean, do they stay in the cellar? Is this the Yankee team that we actually can see go back to the 1980s while all of the stars came there once the 90s came around? I mean, will the Yankees continue to struggle as time goes on? Tommy, I'll come right back to you. Tommy, are you there? Did we lose Tommy?
Sorry, I had it on mute.
Okay.
No, I don't see New York or Boston. I still believe Tampa is the worst team in this division. I really do.
And Tampa's actually ahead of them right now.
Right, but not by much. And Tampa's losing right now to Boston 5-0 in the fifth. So, I mean, Tampa's playing over their heads right now. And I've got friends that are Tampa fans and everything, and I tell them, cool, it's calm. Like you hit it, Ty, it's still cold. When it starts warming up and everything, the ball's going to be jumping out of some of these ballparks, especially Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park. I mean, these teams are going to – even in Baltimore. Right now, the ball's not ball's jumping, but not like it's going to when it warms up. So – This division, it's going to be, watch, it's going to be one of the tightest in baseball. I really believe that.
So you think, so Tommy or in or Ty, do you think and I won't go the totality of the season, but around the 60-game mark that we're looking at the Tampa Bay team down at the bottom looking up, or are they still in the middle of the pack but overachieving?
I really think by the All-Star break, close to the All-Star break, Tampa will be in last place. And if they're not,
okay,
I'll come on here and I will apologize to Tampa. I really think by the middle of June, they'll be in last place.
Now, more than likely, if Boston hangs on to this lead, this actually puts them two games under 500 with what the Rays have been able to come out the gate with. And this actually puts the Red Sox at 500. I'm wondering if the Red Sox do take this fight personal. And if they are somewhat healthy, I mean, the only one that's out is the Panda himself and Sandoval. But other than that, I mean, you got Dusty here. You got Poppy in his last season. Do they put this together to actually race for the top of the division? That's one thing that I got my eyes set on, is if the Red Sox can stay relevant and put the threat to the guys that are at the top. Because I think with them coming around 500, it doesn't, you know, put a damper on their situation as it is right now. I mean, they are, you know, near the bottom of the division, but it's you know, it's still early. They're a game out of 500, which I think they're up five. If things turn around in the next four innings, I apologize, Rays. I apologize. But I think Boston should be able to seal the deal in Fenway tonight. I at least feel that way.
And Panda's not out. Boston benched his ass for being overweight. He's not playing. He's lost his job.
Boy, that's health. That has to do with health. Regardless of the situation, he's not healthy to be on the field. Just watching the situation, I think it was earlier this week, they showed where he was at bat, and he had a, wardrobe malfunction, you know. Quite funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's quite funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't want it to happen to you, but knowing what he was able to do just a few seasons ago, getting a World Series, and what he meant to San Francisco to basically watch this all fall by the wayside, you got to take this more serious. And that's me talking to Pablo.
His former agent, I believe it was his former agent, if I'm not, someone can correct me, said he needs a baby. It's like being a baby. He needs a babysitter to watch him where he doesn't overeat. You know, that's sad for a pro athlete.
I mean, easier said than done. Easier said than done. Plus, these guys got a deep pockets, man. They can go for whatever they want to eat at the end of the day. But it's tough knowing that you got to be responsible to go out there and be able to play. And these Your own clubhouse is keeping you on the sideline or on the bench until you get it together. It's not like he's going to have that quick of a turnaround in this limited amount of time. That's how I see it. I mean, when does he get back out there? In the next 2 weeks? Like, does he lose 10 pounds that fast? Like, I don't think he gets it done that fast. I think they're going to keep all of that money on the sideline, and hopefully we can see this actually pan out for him or end up hurting him in the long run.
I look for him, Cuddy. I really look for them to release him and bring in a pitcher.
By when? When do you think they'll release him by?
June. Maybe the end of May.
He has a month and a half. That's something to keep a close watch on. If he doesn't get this turned around, I wonder how severe or closely he's taking this. I mean, there's nothing more that could be said about it. I really feel bad, especially while Boston is in a very interesting season, because if things don't go right, I mean, probably gone. How are they going to look next year? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of their big names are leaving. You know, so try to take advantage of this situation. The call number is 917-889-9592. Tommy, any team that I'm missing that you may not want to talk about? Another surprise team that a lot of us were throwing in the cellar were the Oakland A's. They're actually in second in the AL West and playing strong ball, have the lead on the Yankees that we actually talked about a little while ago. I mean, any surprise team? The Rangers are actually doing well, leading the West as well. Any team that I'm missing that you would like to discuss?
I mean, the Braves are turning it around since they're actually not playing the Nationals. I mean, yes, they're 4-9, but they've winning. They've won, went to Miami, swept them. And I believe, I'm trying to check, I know they're beating the Dodgers 3-1 now. I'm telling you, Atlanta's going to be a sneaky team. They play hard. Their problem is pitching. I mean, pitching is what's really hurting them.
What about their offensive problems? I mean, do you think they could get runs scored? I mean, they are struggling to put runs on the board. I mean, all throughout the bottom half of the National League East are struggling to put runs on the board. But, you know, I mean, is this something that they need to be concerned about? Is, you know, I mean, the pitching definitely is a quality that they do need, but also they have not been able to defend home at all. And they're giving up a strong amount of runs also. So, I mean, this is what the Braves are going to have to do with, of course, the name of the game is outscore these guys. But their run total is not great out the gate as well.
I mean, you go back. They swept Miami. They even beat the Dodgers last night, 8-1. So, I mean, they're obviously turning – Atlanta's really turning it around. I mean, they're up 3-1 now. So, I mean, they're turning this around. They're going to be a team – they're going to cause havoc in the East. They're not going to be a team that's going to compete for the East. I still think that's here, the Nationals and the Mets. But they're going to make some noise in it to make it – they're not going to make it easy for either one of their teams and other teams in AL.
Okay. How about the Dodgers team since you hit on it? Not y'all coming to you. Are they fool's gold? I mean, they are sitting atop the National League West right now, in which Tommy just hit on Atlanta actually winning a game last night. They're actually up right now in Turner Field, up 3-1. If they can hang on to this, this actually puts an interesting question while they'll actually be tied with Colorado for the division lead. Is this a fool's gold situation the way that the Dodgers are playing right now? They got off to an early jump. But as they simmer down, I mean, can they turn the heat back on, or is this a situation where teams are figuring them out?
I think, honestly, we will see Colorado and L.A. stay about the same record and continually drop down the NL West standings. As we see the course of the year continue on, I think San Francisco and Arizona begin to turn around their seasons. Their aces get going. Their hitters get going. And I think to me, this is an NL West, or not NL West, this is an LA Dodgers situation that they're just playing a little above their talent. They're on fire right now at the beginning of the season and taking advantage of the two better teams in their division that are not hitting. They're not getting they're not getting the wins at the right time. Now, luckily for them, these two teams have to play each other right now. When we continue to watch, I don't think this. I think I'm in agreement with you. This is kind of a fool's gold situation. I mean, you'll fall in love with them now, and they'll let you down within a week or two. I think that in Colorado as well, they'll end up falling back into place, third, fourth, possibly fourth, fifth down on the list. You know, depending on what San Diego ends up doing. I think they were they beat Pittsburgh last night. They're going to play them again tonight. So who knows where San Diego's going up or down, but I think they'll steadily stay around three or four, being the LA Dodgers. I think as the course of the year goes on, people will begin to figure them out, and I just don't think they'll be able to sustain the success of being first in the NL West.
Tommy, anything that you'd like to add before we get away from it?
I still don't think they make the playoffs. I really don't.
So you think the Dodgers missed the playoffs this season? Mm.
I've said it for 2 weeks. They're not making the playoffs. I still have the Giants winning this division.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So everything starts tonight up against these Diamondbacks. Nacho, look. See, you would pick on me if I were to do that. That's terrible, man. Okay. I agree with you. I mean, we got Pirates baseball we could talk about, the Reds, especially in the series that Tommy just hit on with the Cubs and the Reds about to go at it, too. We could go anywhere right there. We are close to shutting this down. I think we have at least a topic to throw in there.
Did you see where ESPN has released that they have just missed Kirk Schilling?
That's where I was going, Tommy. So good. Yeah.
I've heard about it, and I'm close with Kurt. I actually talked to Kurt. What did he do now?
Go ahead, Nacho.
Do you want to explain it to? Okay. Well, the incident. Of course, everything's about Twitter nowadays. He makes a tweet meme on the subject of transgender males to females and using the bathroom and that, you know. Not to get on, you know, too graphic, but the male organ is for the men's bathroom, not for the women's bathroom. He uses the other word that starts with P, and you know, he ends up pretty much taking a stance on the whole situation, and his stance is not the politically correct way to go about it. He has since deleted the tweet. Came out and speaking about now, he came out and explained himself, saying in not so distant terms that he was not speaking about transgenders, more or less he was speaking about the usage of bathrooms for males and female bathrooms for females. And then, you know, subsequently today he's been released. Tommy, I don't know how you feel about it, but this is, again, another incident involving Kurt Schilling and him taking a politically incorrect stance on something, and I think ESPN has finally had enough of it.
Personally, this is just another dumb person, and I don't mean this, that shouldn't have Twitter, that uses Twitter as the wrong, I can't say dumb, I don't want to put this. Because I know Todd's close to him and all. It's someone that uses Twitter to go at something the wrong way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, they think they can just, I mean, yes, you got freedom of rights and say and freedom of speech and everything else. But you've got to be smart. Also, especially when you're him and he's put himself out there before, and ESPN's warned him. I mean, you got to understand, ESPN is owned by Disney. Disney is more of a children's type thing. I mean, you look at Disney World and everything. It's a theme park for kids. You've got Disney that, I mean, when you work for a company, something like that, you just got to be smart. Yeah, you may believe one way or believe another way, but you also can't put it out there like that because you know something's going to come back and they're going to come fire. I mean, now, he'll get a job. Fox or CBS or somebody like that will pick him up. Watch.
You're right. Fox will pick him up. He'll be on the baseball tonight or whatever, the Fox Sports baseball show, probably by the ending of Friday. The thing is, with me and this whole situation, again, Twitter, Facebook, there are just certain things that whether you are, you believe in it 100%, whether you know, you don't, you know, whether it is the politically incorrect thing to do, you have to bite your tongue. You have to know that you're in a position where your voice is heard by millions upon millions of people, whether they're reading your tweet or reading your tweet from someone who retweeted it who's on their friends list. I think that's what gets missed more often than not. Yeah, you can have 10 million followers, but if 100,000 people retweet it, the number of people it could reach is astronomical. That's one of the things that gets lost in translation when we talk about Twitter. How many people can see it without even following you or following, you know, four or five people close to you that you, you know, that you know. It's just so endless, the amount of people who could see this. You have to know what you're saying and when you're saying it. I do not have a problem, to be honest, with anything Kurt Schilling has said previously or now. That's his view. My opinion on the subject is very on the fence right now, not really understanding the full aspects of, you know, what's going on, the transgender community, the LGBT community, and how they're trying to get whatever it would may be for rights in restrooms. I don't understand that whole thing. I'm not really into it. But whatever, when I mean into it, I mean into following it or into learning about the situation in and of itself. Hearing about it, hearing Kurt Schilling talk about it, that's his own opinion. The problem with it is this is Disney. Your opinion has to match whatever the politically correct thing is and whatever Disney says your statement should say. With all due respect, I'm on Ford City. I can say some outlandish things. I can say politically incorrect things, and I'm pretty sure the next day, as long as it's not about the Lions, the Twins, or the Thunder, you know, Ty won't have a problem with me coming back the next day. But in all honesty,
he's lying. Sports City, he's lying. He talked about Floyd the other day, and look at him.
I didn't say Floyd. But my point, and more to seriousness, is the ESPN brand, the Disney brand, you can't say anything to dishearten it, to break away from it, to make it seem as if you are not following in line. We could take the older analyst, I forget his name, who made a comment about Robert Griffin III's white wife. To me, not much for to talk about. If you weren't watching that segment of First Take, you probably wouldn't have never heard it. So to me, it was blown up more or less because it was politically incorrect to what ESPN viewed, and there was just enough voices against it for ESPN to make a problem with it, along with a couple of their analysts. So I think, to me, this is one time too many, and you have to realize when you're in that position, when you're on a nightly TV show, when it pertains to, you know, basketball, I know it's a few months, but this season of baseball is so long. He's on TV so many months out of the year, and he's followed by so many. You have to be politically correct, especially when you're in the limelight. You're a champion. You've been to the mountaintop on two different teams and the Bloody Sock game. You are world-renowned. You are known by people who don't even follow baseball. So you have to be politically correct, even if you don't believe in it.
I mean, hell, they got rid of the herd. And I believe that's what he – I think it might have been him. I forget what he said or what he did or something. And it was like next day he was gone. Of course, Fox picked him up.
He said it was about baseball. It was a racist comment about baseball and I think the Cubans or I can't remember the ethnicity. I don't want to get it completely wrong. But it was a statement about baseball and in the major leagues and something to do about race. And within a day or two, he was gone. And then, again, within a day or two, he was signed with Fox Sports. I think he was released on Tuesday. And Friday, he was headlining the show on Fox Sports 1. So, same thing's going to happen here with Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, he'll be Fox or maybe an MLB Network will pick him up. I don't know. But the man knows he's baseball. He won't be outlawed.
former Cy Young winner, former World Series winner, knowing that you are one of the bigger names in the sport right now and continue to get caught up in these situations. It's like, come on, Kurt, and I know you personally. Like, I've spoken to Kurt Schilling, like real talk. And I feel bad, man, because they're going to continue to watch you until you clean up your act. And I mean, he's a grown man, but you got to know that these people are waiting to make an example out of a big name that's basically trying to, you know, thumb out or talk downward toward any, how do I say it, sexuality or nationality, anything, man. They want to thumb all of this dislike. I don't want to call it hate. I mean, it could be looked at or viewed as a hate situation, but we got to get past it somehow, some way, man. Especially if I like Kurt Schilling, because I speak to him. Like, this is my guy. This is a friend to me. Like I didn't hear about this until we got in the kitchen. I'm actually missing out on Kurt Schilling actually going next level about this situation. It sucks. It sucks. All right. No. Say what you're going to say. Please. Help me.
No, just on the subject, and again, this is something and a community that you don't want to get on your bad side. Now, I know, you know, television shows and movies are fictitious, but if you've ever seen The Real Husbands of Hollywood, season 3, the beginning, Kevin Hart's show, one of the first couple episodes, he makes fun of the LGBT community, and then he becomes a pariah from every superstar, from every news outlet, from every, you know, producer, and to a point it's fictitious, but to a point it's not. This is such a politically... a political subject, correct or incorrect, that it can sway your public view and how people feel you. Now, I know we sit here and say that he'll get a job on Fox Sports 1, but if the LGBT community comes out in a stance against him, like you said, they've been looking for a main guy, and if they can get him what would be blackballed from every major sports affiliation, MLB Network, ESPN, Fox Sports, NBC, anyone, this is a step for them to make a big motion or move. So, you know, it depends. If they really feel this is a something they can win or something they want to attack, this could be you know, career ending for Kurt Schilling.
I mean, his career is over. It's more or less just him being analytical. If they do want to take a shot with him in front of, you know, the media and address the people, you know, from all walks of life at the end of the day. I don't even feel comfortable because I know the guy talking about him. Like, it sucks. It sucks. Kurt, man, do better, man. That's all I can say, man, trying to speak positive and the light towards you, man. Please try and do better, man, because I still love you. I ain't going to lie, man. You're great. You were great while you played ball. It's just a decision that you're making at this point in time. Just your own personal opinions, and I guess you're shooting yourself in the foot. Okay.
Well, Ty, I thought of another team. If we had time to talk about them.
No, go ahead.
What about the Houston Astros, under 500, and losing to the Rangers right now, 2-0?
Hell of a fall. But the Rangers aren't playing around, so I wouldn't even look at that like, you know, like I'm throwing shade at that. But the way that the Astros played last year, from Dallas Keuchel pitching his tail off to now, these guys are back to the cellar again. It's like, did they play hide-and-go-seek for one full season, and that was that? Like, where did this Astros team go? Where did they go? They were playing so...
They are 5-9 and 3 games out of first place. And if they lose tonight, they will be 4 games out.
And they still have a legit shot to get right back into things. Still have a legit shot to get right back into things, right? I think they gotta get some inspiration from somebody. They have to. Your thoughts on that situation, especially where both me and Tommy are coming from on this very team.
I know, again, Houston team that was on top of the world, that was at one point last year mentioned in with a few names for, you know, World Series contenders. Now they are, you know, at the bottom of their division, you know, three, possibly four games out after tonight. Again, early in the season, it's only April. If this consists, they continue to stay at near the bottom while the top of the division creeps away, I think this is more of a situation, more of a situation than right now. It's something to keep an eye on and to check up on. But like you said, it's early and they still got a bit of a chance to make a name for themselves in this division.
Okay. Anything left in front of the Astros, or we can start shutting it down here in the kitchen. Okay.
It's just shocking, very shocking how they can. I mean, they look so good against the Yankees, and now it's like, what happened?
And the team that they didn't have last year. I mean, do they turn this around, man? Like I've been saying all month, it's early, so things can happen in the month of May and definitely around All-Star break. You know, once July hits, but you know the. They don't look like things have changed, man. It still looks like that breed of baseball is still there. And that one year was like, an exhibition season. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to play hide and go seek. Now they went back to go high. You know, so I feel pretty bad about Houston, especially the pieces that they do have on this team that are considerable players. They're just not getting consistent play out of this team, at least in this season, you know, to start off with, at least. Okay, we are at the tail end of the show. I need close outs from both of you. As we shut it down here at the buffet, I'll start with you first, Mr. Silva. Anything that you like to promote or anybody you like to shout out as we shut the doors here at the buffet?
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'll say it one more time because the crossover show, I don't really show up. Scheduling conflicts and basketball knowledge isn't quite to be top, but I will be here Friday at Nacho in the Box. I'm going to make a lot of people mad, especially at UFC and at Dana White. I don't know what – I won't say any other word. Friday show, roundtable, tune in for that because Dana White, man, POS. Okay, Tommy, Ty, great show. Thanks, man. Baseball knowledge, I love to gain it. Love to listen to you guys, and that's why I call in and listen to the first show before I actually jump in and say anything. The knowledge you guys spit out about teams and prospective teams, it just helps me learn and get a better love for this game. So thanks, guys, and can't wait to listen to you guys tomorrow and then see you guys on the roundtable.
I wasn't trying to talk about the Twins at all, okay? That was all him.
You asked me about the division.
Karma, leave me alone. God, I didn't do it, I swear. It was not me, Karma. Believe me, I swear. You can rewind the tape. you can listen to us on iTunes. I can't win with them. I need winners. Can't do it. No, so let me stop, man. Shout out to Mike Singletary. All right. Tom, you already know what to do. Shut it down, man. As we close the doors here at the buffet.
Yeah, good show, everybody. Thanks for coming in, Nacho. I'm going to shut it down with two things. One, Miami Marlins fans, you're a damn embarrassment. Do you know how much history is in that area where the ballpark is? You all put millions of dollars into. Do you know what used to be there? It hurt. I literally almost cried when they knocked down the building that used to be there where your old ballpark is. And now you all can't put nothing there. And for the people that don't know what was there, the OB, the original University of Miami Stadium, the Orange Bowl. And now you put that ballpark there, that's what I've seen is nice. And you all don't even show up. That's a god-awful embarrassment. Get rid of that damn ballpark. My face, get rid of that damn ball club and put a new stadium there for my University of Miami. Because I bet you people better show up then. Two, on a more calmer thing. the AL, or no, the NL really needs to think about putting a DH in. And this is why. You got too many pitchers that are getting hurt batting and running bases. My Nationals pitcher today, tonight, Joe Ross, hurt himself running the bases and could not come out and pitch in the bottom of the inning. I know there's talk about it. I agree with it. Now, all you original baseball fans back in the day, you old-timers won't agree with it. I like it. Put the DH in all leagues, in Major League Baseball.
Interesting. And I think that would take away from the World Series because you know how the National League likes to see a pitcher get up and bat. American League wise, so they could try and get an easy out. Definitely, but I don't know what to say. This is what baffled me, especially with me and Tommy having the brotherhood that we have being Hurricane fans. But you mean to tell me, in one dugout or clubhouse, however you look at it, you have Donnie Baseball, Barry Bonds, and Giancarlo Stanton. All in the same dugout, and you guys aren't supporting them, and you guys are in South Beach, like in the area, like with things that you need to do other than chill on the beach all damn day. You can go catch a game, and y'all won't even support this team. Wow. Like I
wouldn't go there. If I was a ball player, you couldn't pay me to play in an empty ballpark. I'd go somewhere else where I know fans would come see me.
Listen, if you gave me Giancarlo Stanton's contract, yeah, I'll play in that ballpark all day long. Ain't none of y'all got to come. I'll tell you
fans don't come, you ain't getting paid.
Well, listen, I'll tweet the score. I'll tweet the score. Y'all talking about Kurt Schilling on Twitter. I'll tweet, all right. I'll show you how to get the score out there. Watch it, that's for sure. But like I said, with those names there, there's no way that they don't have any support there. I mean, but the Marlins on the other side of the spectrum, though, you got to play better baseball than this. You only won one home game. They've lost six out of their seven games at home. They are playing better on the road. I can partially see why. Partially. Not fully, but partially. SportsCityShucks.com. Check out the website. The interview, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back in tomorrow. Crossover Cap fan it up. The playoffs are still here. Everybody go out there and catch their game, catch their boys out there, whether it's in the MLB, NHL, hell, NBA. I mean, everything. Like I said, man, this is the most wonderful time of the year. All of these sports are at full throttle, man. The only one we're missing is the NFL, but y'all just sit tight. 3 months from now, we'll be talking some NFL, too. But, I mean, we talking NFL, we round table. I mean, the Browns, and they just made some stuff happen, man. We got some stuff. I mean, Johnny Manziel, and he done lost everything, man. Is his career over, man? Look, I got dishes, man. Believe me, I got dishes. Food for thought. Hopefully y'all are still doing these dishes. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block kids who got the cocaine. Don't tell me it's the little kids on boat trains. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Lawton. She have you believe black invented track with President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the Nobel Prize. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pets. Nixon bombs, here in Texas. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demo raw, possessed, no dough. Crack and veils, much less. White, he can sell off.
is that hard?